So my research examines young adults and romantic relationships, and specifically how alcohol affects their relationships and also how the relationships might affect their alcohol use. And what I'm really most interested in is sort of why people get into these relationships. You know, why does someone who drinks a lot of alcohol perhaps date someone who's a non-drinker? And sort of what are the consequences for their relationship? I mean, they're obviously not spending a lot of time together drinking. And does that affect their other parts of the relationship? And then, you know, someone who does drink, you know, they probably go out a lot, go to bars or clubs and meet other drinkers. And then sort of how does that affect the relationship? Does the drinking impact the relationship quality, their satisfaction, their commitment in a relationship? And also more, you know, adverse consequences like violence. You know, what can happen when you mix alcohol and, say, conflict or jealousies due to other bar patrons and things like that, how, you know, relationships can turn violent. And so my research has looked at that as well. But what I'm probably most interested in is just mate selection. Sort of, you know, how do people, about someone makes them attractive, you know? So, and, you know, how they pair up in a similar relationship versus a different type of partner. Sort of the whole idea, do birds of a feather flock together mm-hmm. or opposites attract? There's a lot of research that shows it's mostly birds of a feather flock together for the majority of couples, but then there are some that are opposites attract, and their drinking specifically is very different. And that's very interesting to me to understand sort of why they get in these relationships and then what happens to their relationships.
Now, how did you get started on this field of research?
Well, one thing that stuck out to me when I was working in my doctoral program is that there hadn't been a lot of research on this area. And, you know, the two most important things in young adults' lives right now are, one, romantic relationships. They're focusing on that. They're trying to develop intimacy and meet and date partners so that eventually they get married.
Right.
And the second thing is risky behaviors. They're experimenting with drugs, and specifically alcohol is the number one drug among young adults. And so the fact that these are the two most important things, how do they interact? And I don't think a lot of people think about them as interacting. And most research has looked at young adult drinking and focused on parents or peers or the college environment or things like that as influences. And my concern was, why are people forgetting about romantic partners? They're a special type of peer.
Right.
I mean, they're probably more influential, more powerful person in someone's life. And secondly, you know, most research that has examined couples and alcohol was focused on married couples. So there has been a lot of research with Ken Leonard, specifically in Buffalo, has focused on married couples and sort of how alcohol impacts their relationships and whether they're more likely to get divorced or not. But people weren't looking at dating or cohabitating or engaged couples or even single people. And I think that was what interesting to me, because young adulthood and or also called emerging adulthood, there's so many things going on in their lives with dating and drinking. And so I just wanted to understand sort of the mechanisms that were going on in that age group.
So did you go out and interview these people, or how did you collect all this data?
Good question. I did not go out and collect data. That is something I would like to do, because I think using qualitative data to ask them questions about how they get in relationships and how, you know, alcohol and other things affect them is important.
Right.
But I've been utilizing the Ad Health data set. It's the National Longitudinal Study of Adolescent Health, and it's a huge data set. It's nationally representative. There's been four waves collected over the course of 15 years or so. So at waves one and two, they were, you know, adolescents. And so I've been able to look at, you know, the adolescent behaviors and how it leads to more young adult behaviors. So, and then wave three, they're between the ages of 18 and 26. And within that age group, the 18 to 26 at wave three, they asked romantic partners. So they have 1,500 couples that were collected, and they're dating, cohabitating, engaged, and married. And so 1,500 couples, that's pretty amazing that it's nationally representative. It's right there at your fingertips to examine the drinking behaviors between these couples, and then all these other consequences like violence and sexual behaviors, health behaviors, and just in general risky behaviors among these young adults. And so that's the data set that I've been primarily working with, because
right.
It's such a rich data set. Not a lot of people have looked at it. And so it's been really useful to look at longitudinal data and understand these couples first, and so that eventually I can go out and start collecting my own data with couples and that aspect.
Now, longitudinal data means that studies that have been conducted over a very long period of time observing this particular group in 2005, for example, and then observing the same group in 2007 and then 2008.
Exactly. So with my data set, I was able to look at, say, with my dissertation, I had, you know, individuals at 15 years old, 16 years old, adolescent years, examining their drinking behaviors, their peers' drinking behaviors, their parents' drinking behaviors, all these different aspects. And then I could look at how those factors might influence their young adult drinking. And so I was able to see that it was it influenced whether they seeked out romantic drinking partners at young adulthood. So 6 years later, it was predictive that, yes, if you were a drinker in, during your adolescent years, you were more likely to seek out someone in your young adult years that was also a drinking person. So basically that they were a drinker. So kind of saying that the idea of that you seek out people that are similar to yourself.
What were some of the specific questions that you set out to find answers to?
I'd say my specific questions were, I really wanted to understand, you know, do drinkers select other drinkers? There's been some research on that, and it was more specific with alcoholism. Mm-hmm. And I was focused more on general drinking. I wasn't really focusing on
alcohol abuse.
Alcohol abuse, per se. I was focused on more binge drinking, you know, four or more drinks in a row for women and five or more drinks in a row for men. And there's been so much research on that. And I wanted to know, so do young adults seek out romantic partners that drink similarly to them? And then what are the consequences if they do or they don't? So someone who's a drinker and they meet someone who's also a drinker, is that a good thing or a bad thing? And so far we found that that's a fairly good thing, that if you find someone who's like you or drinks similarly than you, there's better outcomes than, say, if you're a drinker or a non-drinker and you meet someone who, you know, drinks completely different than you. You don't basically drink at all. Then there are some consequences. Like, for example, there's more violence in those types of relationships. If someone drinks a lot, say a male drinks, you know, maybe 10 drinks on average and the female drinks one, they're more likely to have violence in their relationships.
Right.
And also, you know, they've said, you know, in those types of relationships that they're not as committed, they're not as satisfied versus the couples that drink similarly together. There's better outcomes, except if they're drinking a lot. So we have found if they're drinking really heavy, both of them, they might have some issues just because now they're drinking really heavy. And, you know, binge drinking, there's so many consequences that can arise from that.
Now, you have a treasure trove of information here. How do you plan to apply it to real life situations?
A lot of the research that looks at young adult drinking, which is, you know, a huge concern in the United States today, have focused on peers and parents, you know, and trying to use prevention programs for them, which, you know, has found some great advantages. But I always felt with my research, I was really interested in the romantic relationships. I feel like there's such a powerful influence. I mean, think about if you've ever had a romantic partner, how you want to please them.
Right.
So if they say drink, you might want to drink more just to be around them or to make them happy. And so to me, that was someone we needed to include in prevention designs. And so right now I'm focusing my career on understanding the problem a little more developmentally and how it can impact relationships. And then, you know, understanding the longitudinal processes that go on, because yes, someday I would like to utilize some type of prevention program so that we can, you know, get at that romantic partner and help individuals discover that there's an important influence there when it comes to these drinking behaviors, that they could actually be a protective factor in some ways. They can be a negative impact on someone's life if it's a risky drinker, but they can also be a protective factor, because ultimately, once someone gets in a relationship, typically, not all the time, but drinking does go down. Like, for example, once young adults get married, there's a ton of research that shows that they're less likely to drink as much than, say, if they were single or dating. So we know a romantic partner can play an influential role, especially a protective role. So there's definitely some prevention research I'd like to do someday.